Well, today I am going to go off the beaten path here a little bit. And sometimes God gives a path for teaching, where we've been studying about the remedy series. We've been looking at Psalms 23 and finding that God has a remedy for every one of those things that pull at us and cause us such angst. And sometimes God gives a specific message. And my role as a pastor is to be sensitive to what God wants to say, not what Todd wants to say. And so that's so important. And so just in studying this week, just waking up Monday morning, just really felt that God wanted to go in a little different direction for today. And we'll get back to the series next week. But think of this as like one of those things, if you're watching a show and it breaks and says, we interrupt this program for an important message. Have you seen one of those, you know what I'm talking about? And we'll get back to the regularly scheduled program. But just hang on, because I want to talk about something this morning. And it's important. And you say, well, how important? Well, it's important enough that as we look at this, we're going to find that two men gave their lives and died a horrible death to anchor this principle in Scripture of what God is trying to speak to us this morning. And before you just dismiss that as Bible talk, it was like, oh yeah, that's just a story. Just imagine if that were you. I mean, imagine if the life that you were living was headed for a tragic ending so that others could use you as an example. You'd be okay with that? You think take that a little more serious now? It's like, wait a second, I want to do something about that. Exactly. And so see the importance and see this. Now here's the other thing too. We have so many new people in our church, and that is so cool. And we tend to teach toward the shallower end of the pool. And that is not an insult. That is something so incredible, because we have so many new people who are just discovering that there is a God that loves them and there's a God that cares for them. And man, we just want to connect and see them grow and come to that fullness. So we tend to teach more those basic concepts and getting those things anchored in place. But today I want to flip that. In fact, the longer that you have known God, the more relevant this is going to be to you this morning. And in fact, if you're new, you get to kind of sit back and say, okay, I'm not there. I'm not suffering with that. I don't struggle with that. And that's awesome, because you can learn this principle now, so you never have to get to a place where this is an issue. But here's the thing. Those of you that have known God for years need to listen up today, because God's trying to get your attention. So those of you, you know the drill, you've been through Sunday school, you can finish the story. You've heard the illustrations. You may have memorized the verses. You know those things. You consider yourself a question. You know what's going on. You know the drill. You know the words to the songs. This is your life. This is who you are. This is something that you are comfortable in. You don't come to rarely do you come to church and discover something brand new that you hadn't heard before or didn't discover before. But it's an affirmation of what you already know. And so this is who I'm talking to this morning, all right? And so let God speak. Again, this is kind of out of the beaten path. And to just show you how far out of the beaten path it is, we're going to look at the book of Leviticus this morning. Now, I know we don't teach a lot out of Leviticus. Some of you view Leviticus as God's gift to you as a sleep aid. And it does work as that, by the way. But that's not what we're talking about today, because Leviticus was one of those, it's like reading a legal document. It's, thou shalt do this, and, take this, and put this here, and don't put this here. And, and it's one of those things that God put into place. They gave all these rules and regulations as he was starting this nation, starting this country, and all of the things that needed to be done. And there's not a lot of stories in Leviticus, but in between the cracks of all the legal talk that God put into place of how they were to live, we find these examples of life. And it's in one of these cracks that I want to look today, just a short passage, but yet so powerful to those of us who are comfortable in our walk with God. And it's a reminder of what is truly, truly important. And we're looking at Leviticus chapter 10. And again, just a very, very short passage when you throw that verse up here. Leviticus chapter 10. Aaron's son, Nabad and Abihu, okay? And so we'll just stop right here. Here's what we're talking about. Here's who this story is about. These are Aaron's sons. Now, who is Aaron? Aaron is Moses' brother. And why is that relevant? Because Moses' brother, Aaron, was considered to be the first priest. He was the one in charge of the church. He was the pastor. He was the religious guy. And this is his two kids. Now, trust me, I have some perspective of this, having grown up as a preacher's kid. You get very, very comfortable with church life. I think I have slept on just about every one of these pews. Some of my earliest remembrances are, you know, growing up in church. It just becomes part of your life. And a lot of you know what I'm talking about. Maybe not as growing up in a pastor's home, but you are comfortable with church. You know when to come to get the hot coffee. You know when to come when they put the donuts out there. You know where to sit, where you can hide behind people if that's what you're trying to go for, or you know where to get the best seats. You know all of the things involved with it. This is comfortable, and not just the environment. The relationship with God is comfortable. There's a routine, hopefully, in your life where, you have a time of prayer, that you have a time where you read the scripture, or maybe, you've read through your Bible, or you're reading through the Bible, that you've put things in your heart to memorize, and you know all of the steps. We're like these two boys here. You've grown up in it. You know, many of you were Sunday school teachers, or many of you can point to that, you were my Sunday school teacher. We were part of it, and I look at it, I see some of my Sunday school kids, Jason, my Sunday school kid, and we used to do, crafts together, and Sister Poise, one of my Sunday school teachers, and just these, they're part of who we are, you know what I'm talking about. And you've seen it emerge from, when we used to hear the Bible stories, and then they used to do flannel graph. How do you remember flannel graph? That's amazing, because I think that's legal anymore, and everything's all high tech. But flannel graph, remember, is like the little velvet on the back, and they'd put it up, and they had the little scenes, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, because when I said that, those images came to mind. You'd move the disciples over, or there was the rock on the tomb, and the teacher would move it over. You know the stories. You know what it's like to come to an altar. You know what it's like to be baptized. You know what it's like to have God in your life and to pray. You consider yourself a Christian. It is just part of who you are. You don't even have to think about it anymore. It's just natural. You've been coming to church, and on Sunday morning, that's just what we do. You don't have to think about it. You don't stress about it. You don't go, well, what time is service today? What's the name of that church? I wonder what we're going to do in service today. Do you think we might sing, or is it going to preach? No, you've got all this. And then the same thing with our relationship with God. When you pray, there's a familiarity with God. That you talk to him, that there's been some miles in the relationship. And this is where these two boys are. They grew up in this. This was their life. They were comfortable with this. They knew what was right. They knew what was wrong. They knew all of the things that should be done. And that's where we're at. And that's why this is so relevant to us. And so Aaron's son, Nadab and Abihu, took their pans from the burning incense and put fire in them. And what they're talking about here is this, is they are going through the process of worship. This was part of the Old Testament temple process. And what they would do, and the process was to be this, that they were to take the fire from the altar, and they would put it into the pans and add incense, and then they would go through and illuminate the rest of the tabernacle. And we've talked a little bit about this, but the flame was to always come from the altar. That is where it started. In fact, it was that fire that powered the rest of the tabernacle. All of the lights and all of the things that happened was fueled by the fire that started at the altar. It was God's plan. It was how he designated. These boys knew it. It's the way that it had always been done. It was the right thing to do. And we understand that the symbology so much more, because we see that altar is that place where we allow ourselves to die, and we allow God to reign. It's the exchange of my will for God's will. It's the exchange of what I want for what God's wants. And we see that that is where the power originates from. That when we come into our relationship with God, with that sacrificial, that altar experience, God, here it is, and this is tough. God, this is going to cost me something. God, this is this. I'm laying down who I am, and I am taking on who you are. I want your will. So God, here's my old life. Here's my will. Here's my mistakes. Here's everything that I have. And Lord, would you exchange that? There is something powerful that powers our relationship with God when that happens. That's why repentance never goes away in prayer. It was the start of the temple, and it's a mirror of how we pray. When Jesus, you know, talked about prayer, he said, look, you need to go and you need to always repent. You need to always have that element where there is that altar in your life where you're saying, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I know I'm human. Lord, I know there's issues. And so once again, every time I come into your presence, it has to start with me laying down what I want, laying down my will, laying down what my way would be and saying, God, I recognize you as Lord. And that is where the power begins. And so just turn to somebody and tell them, say, I need to repent. And you're absolutely right. Yeah, we never get to a place where you don't need to repent. Because you know you. You know you. You know what I'm talking about. We get all kinds of crazy things. And so this is what they were to do, that they were to take the fire from the altar, and this was what was worship. This was what would happen, and they would mix it with incense, and it would have this beautiful smell that would permeate through. And you got to understand that was important because they lived in a time when it didn't smell good. I mean, think about it. I mean, they did not have the sanitary plumbing. They did not have all the wonderful things that we have, like deodorant and other things that we should hopefully be using. And they were in an environment where it stunk. And there was also, you know, the sacrificing of animals. There was the blood. It was just, it was a mess. And so they would burn incense, and it would override all of that. And it was just this sweet smelling savor. We talked about metaphors this morning, and that's one of those things right there that is pleasing. It draws you to. Anybody ever walk past a Cinnabon shop in the mall? I don't know if they still have that there. You know what I'm talking about? You can smell it like 5 miles away. You know, you can just be parking in the parking lot. Man, I smell hot cinnamon buns, you know? And there's something that draws us to that. Or, you know, for some, it's like the smell of popcorn. Or if anybody in your neighborhood is grilling steaks, you know, that's what I was like. Man, I think I need to go and go and talk to my neighbors, you know. So it's that odor, that smell that draws us to it. And this is the metaphor he's using. They're burning incense because God says, this is what's pleasing to me. This is what overrides everything else. It makes me want to envelop. It makes me want to be a part. And so they knew how to do this. This was not new. They were to get up and go down to the altar, and they were to take and do the process of what the altar involved and get that fire and get those coals and put them in that pan that they would carry and then carry that back through and put the incense on and then ignite the other elements. They knew this. They had done it again and again and again and again. They were comfortable with it. But look at what happens next, this next verse. But they did not use the specific fire Moses had commanded them to use. We're comfortable. We're good with it. And so what happens when there's comfort that overrides the truth of what should be done, there is so often a compromise in what is done. And so what we see here is that they used fire from a different source. Maybe it was something they had within their own house and said, you know what, it's just a whole lot easier to use this. I mean, fire is fire. I mean, I'm just going to use what I have, and I know the right thing to do. I know the right way to do it, but you know what? We're just going to do it this way. I mean, we're comfortable with this. We, you know, nobody's going to know. It's just, we're just going to do because it's a little easier. A little easier. If you have the King James Version, it says that they used unholy fire, or fire that wasn't separated or purposed for God's use. And so we see this compromise with those who are totally comfortable and know how it should work and how it should work. But yet in that moment, comfort overwhelmed, and they said, we're not going to use what we know to do. We're just going to do it our way, the little easier way. And look at the end result. Moses commanded them not to use in the presence. And so fire came down from the Lord, and he destroyed Nadab and Abihu, and they died in front of the Lord. Now, there are two things that I take from this. Number one, I am so glad that I do not live in the Old Testament times. And there should be a hearty amen from everyone that is still breathing here today. But the principle of how God works and the principle of what God views as valuable and what is right doesn't change. That God says, look, there is a way to do things. And there is a right way and there is a wrong way. And when we choose to step outside of God's way, there is it's never a positive result. It's never a positive end. And I'm thankful that every time that I sin, God doesn't just zap me with a bolt of lightning. And because honestly, there would just be a mound of dust here today. That's all I would be. But out of God's grace and mercy. But you know what I'm talking about, that when we step outside of God's way, that's when we find so often that we get into the trouble that we never thought we would get into. We get into situations that we never thought we would want to get into. We get into a frustration of misunderstanding God and saying, God, why aren't you doing what you promised to do? And we can lose it even though we are so comfortable that they said, we're going to worship God on our terms. We're going to worship God from what is most convenient for us, that we're not going to base it upon God's authority, upon God's sovereignty, or upon God's plan, but we are still going to go through the motions. And so let me ask you a couple questions today. And again, these are tough, but let me ask you this. Where are you worshiping, from where are you worshiping God this morning? I mean, just think about it. You know, we say that, you know, God is holy. Oh, God is just holy. But if you look at your life, is your life a reflection of that? We talk about God being my provider. Oh, God is there and he provides. We talk about God's blessing. We talk about how God is there and he has given us so much. But is our life a reflection of God's way to honor him in those things? Or are we defaulting to what is more convenient for us? We say that you are Lord of my life, that I am a Christian, which means I am a Christ follower, that I try to copy and emulate Christ's way in my life. And it's easy to say, and it's a good thing to say, but look at where you're really living. Is that truly the case? Is it originating back at an altar? Or is it something that is just easy to say? Easy to proclaim, because we're so, it's convenient. And we know how it works. We know what it looks like. And we can show up on a Sunday morning and look the part beautifully. But God is asking us to consider, wait a second, where is that originating? Is it just going through the motions because you know how it should play out and you're comfortable with it? Or is it based back upon a life back at an altar where you say, God, not my will, but your will. God, I'm going to do it your way. You see, there's something in us that when we come together, we say, well, worship's worship. I mean, I'm prayer is prayer. My relationship with God is just that. And what we find in Scripture is that's not true. It's kind of like this. I was watching a guy, he had a rental car. And I was watching from a distance, and it was one of those things you just saw played out, and you knew how it was going to end. And if you have a diesel car, there's a certain sound to a diesel, right? You know, it sounds like a truck, no matter how big your car is. I mean, you can have one of those little smart mini cars, and it still, you know, sounds like a truck pulling up. And so he had a rental in the back, and he pulled up, and he was getting gas, and I saw he was putting regular gas. You all know where this is going, right? Yeah. But here's the deal. Same pump, same place, said gas. Gas is gas, right? Well, he was going to find out real soon. Hopefully he had the insurance policy on his car rental, because that has the ability to really mess up a vehicle. He's not going to get very far. And it's the same way that when we come and we say, well, worship's worship. Talking to God is talking to God. That it's you know, me just doing it is doing it. But wait a second, Jesus brings clarity to it. In Matthew chapter 15, he says this, look at this. And this is Jesus' words. He says, these people show honor, and honor is good, right? Honoring God, right? Honor me with words. But what? Their hearts are far from me. That wasn't a compliment. He's saying, look, you're saying all the right things. You're doing all the right things. I mean, the fire is burning, but what originated it doesn't work. It's not how it's supposed to be. Their hearts are far from me. Look at the next verse. He says, their worship, all of the good things that they're doing, all the things they're so comfortable doing, all the ways that they know how to, they're from the outsider perspective, they're doing it perfect. Hands right at the right level, you know, right angle. They know all the words to the song. They show up at the right times. You know, they're doing everything from an outsider perspective. They're just nailing it. They've got it down. They know this. But what is he saying? This is Jesus. He says, it's worthless. It's worthless. Why? Why? He says, they teach things that are nothing but human rules. And he's saying this. It's just part of a habit that they have now. They've become so comfortable with it that they've missed the power behind it. And here's what God is trying to do this morning is shake us a little bit, because we can come into a church, and you know this, and you can just put it on autopilot, baby. And that's it. It's like you're singing, you're talking, you're doing it, you know, you're listening, and then you go home and you go, what happened today? What was said today? What did we sing today? You're not even thinking about it. Because we know it. We're comfortable. We're comfortable. That we can have a life and a relationship with God that is on autopilot. And we say all the right things. And we want all the right things. And we post all the right things. And we do all, you know, all the things from externally. It looks like, wow, you have really got your act together with God. And man, you really trust God and believe God. But what is happening in that place when nobody's watching, when it's away from it all? It's the hard work of the sacrifice of saying, God, I am laying down my will, my way, what I want. And God, I'm exchanging it for what you want, because that is the only way that it works. Otherwise, it's worthless. And I wonder today, and I don't want to be harsh, but I want us to think today, what would God say about your worship today? Would he say, oh, man, it smells like a Cinnabon. I'm just drawn to it. Because I saw what you did, and I know what you're going through, and I've heard those prayers, and I see what you're struggling with, and you're honest, and you're trying, and you're working, and to do it my way, and it's just so beautiful. Watch what I do to empower that. Watch what I do to bring strength to that. Or would God look at your worship today and say, you know what, you didn't miss a word, you clapped on beat, you were perfect in every way, you didn't spill your coffee, you greeted people, you smiled, but you know what, it wasn't worth anything. It wasn't worth anything. Says they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And what we see is God changes the priorities. He says that what is private is more important than what is public. What you do is at home is far more important than what you do at church. Because let's be honest, everybody can be a Christian in church. I mean, that's pretty easy. You know, I've never known anybody hold up anybody, you know, in a church service. You know, you're getting your wallet out for the offering. You know, he pulls a gun. Give me your dough. You know, we're in church. Come on. You know? Not two people leaving service to go steal your car. You know, not too many. We've actually had that one time. But you know what I mean? I mean, it's easy to be in church. It's easy to look good in church. And it's funny, too, because when people find out that I'm a minister, and Dad and Scott, you can relate to this. When they find out what you are, all of a sudden they treat you different. You know, I've had people talking to me, you know, telling me things, and we're laughing. It's like, what do you do? It's like, oh, I'm a pastor. Oh, well, God bless thee, Father. You know, I'm like, yeah, that's what my kids say, you know. is this, you know, trying to put on the exterior. Exterior. I was over at Pawn America when Pawn America was still here, and they were filming a commercial, and I don't know, the guy's name is Mr. Pawn America, the guy that owns it. They were filming. And so we were talking and laughing, and that same thing happened. And he says, you know, well, what do you do? And I said, yeah, I'm a pastor, and, you know, we buy all kinds of used stuff from here. And he's like, oh, well, peace be with you. And I'm like, you've never said that in your life. And so I had some fun, and I said, and peace be with you, my son. You know, I'm just like, I would like the blessing of a discount. No, I didn't say that. But you know what I'm talking about? That just didn't mean anything. I didn't look at him as like, wow, you are so spiritual. You are so discerning. Man, God must really kind of bless this place. It didn't work. They closed. But you know what I'm talking about? It's more than just going through the motions. And how many of us have become just so comfortable with it? Then we think that God is comfortable with it. And then here's the sad part. Because we live a life expecting power where there's none. We live a life trying to prop God up and try to make God stronger and better than what he seems, because he seems really absent in our life. And we're going through things, and we say things like, well, it must be just God's will that I go through this. And where is God? And where's God's anointing? Where's God's power? Where's God's peace? And we wonder, what's wrong with God? You're not keeping up your side of the bargain. I mean, I showed up, I sang, I went through the motions. And God is saying, well, you've missed it. You've missed it. You've missed it. He's saying, look, it's private over public. It's actions over words. I love this example. If you were to go, and if you have kids, you go and tell your kids, you know, go clean up your room. And then you leave and you come back and the room is a mess. But your child says, well, Dad, you said it was so profound that, you know, I memorized what you said. In fact, I memorized it in Greek, and I memorized it in Hebrew. And I made a poster on my wall. It says, clean up your room. And it's my life verse, Dad. It's my life verse. And second, we started a small group where we're discussing what that meant. Clean up your room. There's so much depth there, Dad. You go, you're crazy. Get your room clean. Because what I asked you to do, you didn't do. I didn't care that you did all the things around it. I didn't care that you built a building in the back and put the name on it, or memorized it, or, you know, cross-stitched it and put it on the wall. It's not what I said. You didn't do what I tell you to do. And Jesus is bringing clarity and says, look, your words don't mean anything. It's the actions. It's what are you actually doing? Does it originate on an altar? When was the last time that you had an old-fashioned altar experience where you just gave it all to God and you meant it? And say, God, this is going to be hard. This is going to be tough. This is going to cost me something. But I realize that is how this works. That when I'm willing to give you my mess and my doubt and my insecurity, that you exchange it for your power and your authority and your direction and your illumination. And that is how it's worked. And anything less is worthless. It's words. It's just comfort. And Jesus said, look, it's application over attendance. It's not just going through the motion. And here is the sad part. We look at that verse, is that those two boys. Can you pull that verse up again, that last verse? One before that. At the end of it. Yep. Next. Nope. Keep going. There you go. Look at this. Oh, this is so powerful. And this is so... It breaks my heart as a pastor, because here's where some of you are at. That your faith in God, your confidence in God, and your walk with God is dying right in front of God. That you can be in a service that talks about the truth and the power of how good God is and how great God is and how much God loves you, and just be going through the motions and be dying right in the very presence of a God that died for you. And because we're so comfortable with it, we think we're okay with it, and we think God's okay with it. And what I'm trying to tell you today is God's not okay with it. He's given us a beautiful way, and if you will trust him, you will be blown away at how different the life is when there is a power of God in your life. And said, you know what? I started at an altar and it cost me something, but what I got was so much more. I can't even compare it. I gave my old and I was given new. I gave my broken and I was given perfect. I gave my past and I was given eternity. I gave my fear and I was given peace. I gave my stress and I was given joy. This didn't cost me everything. Yes, I laid it all on the altar and I gave it all away. But what I got in return was so much more. And we're missing it. And God is saying, trying to get your attention, I have this incredible life for you. Stop fooling yourself. You grew up in it, you know, but you're compromising and it's costing you something. So here's a couple questions I want to leave you with. Again, these aren't going to be easy, and you know me, I'm not all about making you feel comfortable. I'm making you feel really uncomfortable, but that's how I know it's working, right? Is that, I got a friend, she's a physical therapist, and I said, how do you know you're doing a good job? She goes, they cry. How do I know I'm doing a good job? It's like, nobody wants to look at me. It's like, oh, okay, I wish he was done here. This is certain, but it's a thing. God's working. God's working on. A couple questions. Here we go. Where have I become so comfortable doing God's work that I've missed God's will? Where have I been so comfortable, this is just what I do, this is just what I do, this is what, just what I do, that I don't listen to what God is trying to tell me, where God is trying to lead me? Where have I become so comfortable, so ingrained in just doing God's work that I've missed God's will? Second question is this. Where in my relationship with God am I just going through the motions? I mean, we sang some songs today, but did you ever just realize what you were talking about? What those words actually meant? And stop and thought how powerful that is? Where you just stopped and realized what an incredible opportunity you have when you begin to talk to the God, the creator of it all, God that gave his life for you on Calvary, and you have an open invitation that any time, any place, you can say, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. But when we go to prayer, how many of us, we just kick back into the same old thing? It's habit. We don't even think about it anymore. It's the now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Not going to talk about dying before I wake because that part's scary. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, thank you for this food. Bless it now and make it good. By thy hands we now are fed. Thank you, Lord, for this daily bread. Or whatever it is, whatever your flavor is when you talk to God. Here's the thing. You ever been praying and then realized that you were praying because your mind was like way off someplace, but yet you were still praying on the outside? Anybody ever do this? I have. Okay, you all are super spiritual and just pray for me. Right? You'll be talking to God, Lord, love you, you're good. And your mind is like, okay, what's the grocery list for Monday? What email do I need to send? Oh, I got to mow the grass. And your mouth hasn't stopped talking. You know what I'm talking about. God is saying, that doesn't count. It don't work. We need to just stop and once again get serious about it. Last question, and I'll talk about this. One more. What do I know is wrong? Oh, this one's going to sting. Just telling you ahead of time. What do I know is wrong in my life, but have become so comfortable with it that it doesn't really bother me that much anymore? What do I know is wrong? What is there in my life? What is there in my home? What is there in my relationships? What is there in my morality? What is there in my business dealings? What is there in my family dealings? What is there when nobody sees me? What is there in my personal life? Where is there that I know it's wrong because I've been raised in this? I know it's wrong. You don't have to tell me it's wrong. I can quote you verses where it's wrong. I've told other people that it's wrong. I know it's wrong. I know it's wrong. But here's the thing. I've allowed it to become so comfortable that I don't feel I have to deal with it. I don't have to take it to an altar. And what God is saying is like, oh, do you realize what you're missing? And so in short, what God is saying is this, real simple. Just stop pretending. Stop pretending. God loves honesty. I love in Scripture where people come to him and they're honest. And every time they're honest with Christ, he doesn't belittle them or insult them. And there's a guy that comes to Jesus. He says, Lord, I believe, but help me because I really don't believe. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are a loser. Can't believe you don't. How dare you say that? Don't you know who I am? No. What's he say? Oh, that's, you're being honest. You're being honest. Watch what I can do. Just be honest with God. Stop pretending. Stop pretending. Look, I mean, you know, if you know that you're living wrong, stop pretending like you're living right. Because your pretending ain't doing any good. In fact, you're never gonna resolve it till you realize that it's wrong in the first place. And we can start believing it's okay because we can convince ourselves of anything. How many have ever bought anything that you know you shouldn't have bought, but yet you convinced yourself it was a great deal? If only we could earn commission from the stuff we sell ourselves, right? We can convince ourselves of anything. Anything. And the same thing is true with our life. Ah, this ain't that big a deal. God understands. God's cool with it. You know what God's saying? I'm not cool with it. Need to resolve it. Go back to an altar. Go back to an altar. Take it back to an altar. Because what you're doing is just going through the motions and it's not working. And it's not working. And what you hear in the message of God today is he's frustrated because he has an incredible blessing and an incredible life beyond what you can even imagine. What you can't even imagine. And here's the thing. When we make the cost of what we have to give to God greater than what God would give us in return, what have we done to God? We have shrunk him down and made him not God anymore. We say, God, what I'm offering is far more than what you would offer. And that's why it's a struggle. You know what? You know what's happened? You've lost your perspective of just how great God is. You fooled yourself into thinking that God is all about taking your stuff. You know, if God wanted to take your stuff, he could take your stuff. God's not about that. But God is saying, look, there's a purpose and a reason behind it. Do it my way. Trust me. We talk a lot about trust. Trust me and watch what happens. You will begin to find the power. You will begin to find the direction, the illumination. All of God's incredible promises start to become true when we begin to worship him, serve him in the right way. I think I got one more verse up here, do I? Jesus is talking, and he says, there is a time coming and has now come when what? The true worshipers. And he's saying true because what? There can be false worshipers. I don't want to be a false worshiper. I want to be a true worshiper. I want to be a true worshiper. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And we could spend 6 weeks talking about that. But he's saying, look, you're going to get it right. On the inside and on the outside. In the way that is God's spirit and how it interacts with you and what you know to be true. Okay, you're going to worship God that way. And I love this next verse because he nails it. He says, for they are the kind of worshiper the Father seeks. And this word here, we have talked about it before. The best equivalent that we have is this. It is the same panic that a mother feels when she is shopping and she has lost her baby. That's the closest English equivalent we have to that. You ever seen a mama with a lost child in a store? They don't care what anybody thinks. They don't care what anybody says. They are going to find that baby. They are going to find that kid. Right? And there ain't no stopping them. They're not timid. They're yelling. They're going. That is how God is drawn to you. I want a God that says, there ain't nothing going to stand in my way. There ain't nothing going to stop me. That I don't care when you get it right. When you go back to an old-fashioned altar and recognize me as God and trust me with all of it, there is nothing that is going to stop me. I am going to be with you. I am going to envelop. I'm going to bless you. I want to be with you. I want to give you all of the things that I have promised. There is something that seeks because, oh, that's my child. That's what you're missing. And the problem that we so often face is that God becomes blah, blah, blah because we're missing it. And God is saying, oh, let me just remind you, if you would just go back and do it right because you know what to do. This is nothing new. It's just at an altar again. And when you say, God, forgive me. I've been doing it wrong. And just, God, you know, help me. I got to go back and make some changes. I got to go back and start or stop or break or do whatever it takes. But God, I mean it. You first, your way. Watch what God does. Watch what God does. And we say the longer that you know God, that the tougher this is. Because we get comfortable. Somebody new, just blown away that God loves me. This isn't a struggle. But over time, we can get cold. So God is speaking to you today. And so we're going to close with just a chance for every one of us to just find an old-fashioned altar in our own way. What an opportunity. And we've got an altar here. You can come and pray, or you can deal where you're at, whatever. But there's a God that's saying, oh, hey, do I got your attention? Hey, do you realize how great I am? Do you realize how much I love you? Do you realize how much I have for you? And you're missing it. Stop pretending. Stop pretending. It's not working. But if you just come to me in honesty, watch what I can do in your life. Can we stand?